trying to stay as consistent as possible. You know, still learning that. Been a little inconsistent, but trying to learn that consistency, and that's how I'll improve in the game and keep moving up.
With the base running, is there anything more you can do than maybe just look for trends with the pitcher's move, time them up, and try and get good jumps? Or are there other things that you feel like you're learning out there?
Learning counts to run on, learning catchers, like, you know, certain pitch throwing, certain, you know, guys just like time to the plate, stuff like that. Just, you know, learning jumps and everything, just kind of everything that goes into it.
So whenever you're on the bases, are you paying attention to pitch type and sequencing with the guys, and maybe even noticing the trends of your hitter who's at the plate, whether they're going to take or whether maybe they're looking to hunt a fastball on that count?
Yeah, honestly, you know, letting the guys get their swings off and not trying to take away at bats, you know, by running into an out. But, I mean, most of it honestly happens when you're on the bench. You know, if there's a guy at first base that's fast, if you're watching the game and watching what the pitcher's throwing in certain counts with that guy on first, you can pick up on that and use that to your advantage when you get to first base.
We're joined with Mighty Muscle shortstop Noah Miller. In the first game of this series on Friday night, you committed your first error in 47 games in a row. That's incredible, especially for a shortstop. You might see that with an outfielder, but not with a shortstop. You're already shaking your head. I mean, that's only your third error of the season. I feel like it's a point of pride for you.
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, I've kind of always prided myself on my defense. It's always been my number one tool. It's just kind of always been like my one thing that I have that just will never go away. And making that error is just, I mean, it annoyed me a little bit just because, you know, I had to be quick on it, and I just, you know, missed. It got on my fingertips a little bit and sailed the first baseman. So it's always, you know, annoying when you get that error, but I didn't even realize that it was that long. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it was two full months. When you're out there, how do you maintain that level of concentration to not make mistakes? Because we see everybody commit errors. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's a combination of both. But when the ball is hit to you, do you just kind of like relax? How do you maintain that focus where you make so many accurate throws?
You know, honestly, I think it's just the preparation that I've had, just all the practice that I've done, just working on accuracy, working on, you know, my ground balls. You know, when I was a kid all the way up, I've, you know, always been working on defense, and just something that I've kind of always had and always like just keep practicing to keep improving. And that's something that I never kind of want to, you know, never want that to go away. So
when the ball's hit to you, it's just instincts. You kind of shut your brain off and let the body do the work.
Yeah, I try not to think. Honestly, the more you think, the harder it is. So just trying to keep it simple. Just catch the ball, throw the ball, just play the game.
On Friday, you also had maybe it was the cone of shame that caused the error. Because it was the first game you've ever played with that chalk V behind the second base bag. You had to stay outside that crease, which is the new rule in this league. What did you think of it? Was it weird? Was it in your peripheral vision? Did it affect where you wanted to play?
Not really. It's just a little bit different just because the Twins are big with shifting. So like we're shifting up the middle a lot, and it's a little bit different just not playing as far over. It just kind of puts you into that more normal shortstop position like the game used to always be played. So it doesn't change too much just on like how much range you can get on the other side of that bag.
Did you find yourself moving forward on the dirt at all to try and get closer towards, yeah, kind of your glove side?
A little bit, yeah. When we have a guy that is shifted, you know, a little bit farther over to, like, closer to second base, then you move up the line a little bit to, you know, if he does hit that one up the middle, you want to take that one away from him.
So. Did you end up with a bunch of chalk on your left spike at the end of the game?
Honestly, a little bit. I was cheating a little bit, but...
Last question for you. We're getting closer and closer to playoff time. You're about to play the three teams that are probably the most likely to play you in the playoffs, Dunedin and then Tampa and Bradenton. Is it kind of nice knowing you've got that spot locked up? And is that kind of like the carrot at the end of the rope for you guys when we get to September?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's nice knowing that we already have that. We already have the playoffs in sight, but it doesn't mean that we're going to slow down. It doesn't mean that we're just going to give up easy games and stop caring about the game. It's just, you know, more motivation to, you know, see if we can take the second half too and be the best team in the playoffs and then win the playoffs. So it's kind of all I got on that. Just we ain't stopping.
Well, whether it's here or CR, you're going to be playing some playoff baseball this year. Noah, thanks for the time. We appreciate it, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you, John.
First pitch is coming up next. Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you ready for first pitch. John Vitas alongside Mighty Muscles right-handed pitcher and Twins prospect Marco Raya. Marco, thanks for the time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So your last outing against the Tampa Tarpons, you get through five innings, kind of a benchmark that you've been shooting for throughout the year. You've had a lot of three- and four-inning outings. So how did it feel to get through five?
I mean, it felt great finally to get five out there and just like really like no have no delays or no like anything like holding back, like just really I had like a regular day yesterday and like was able to go five and feel pretty good.
Yeah, regular days on the schedule this time of year are rare. Yeah. So you had some struggles early. They ran some good at-bats against you, really worked the count, and then you completely settled in to put up zeros in the third, fourth, and fifth. What did you do mentally last night to lock it back in?
Really just focusing on my the mental and physical mistakes I was making and just like trying to minimize those and just keep my team in the game and and put us in position to get the win.
What did you notice about those mistakes? Was it just location, pitch type? Was it just, you know, what do you think? What did you notice specifically?
I mean, some like minor mistakes I noticed were like just I was like in some pitches I was trying to overdo it or I was trying to be too pretty with it, and just really like attacking is my thing, and really like after the second inning just got into my attack mode, attack mentality, and settled in.
Yeah, and trust the stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
So you've been a lot of fastball slider recently. I know in spring training and previously you had a curveball in the upper 70s, but you're also sprinkling in a changeup now a little bit more and more. Is the changeup something you've been focused on this year?
Yeah, definitely. It's something I've been working on for probably a couple months. And lately it's been getting way better, like a lot better. And like every start I just go out there and it gets better and better. So just taking it one day at a time with that.
Did you have that pitch at all in high school?
I did. I just didn't use it as much as I should have. But I mean, now it's like way better. Like in my opinion, it's like way better than it used to be and like way more effective. So like now I'm definitely using it more in games and stuff. So it's been helping me a lot.
Yeah. Is the one you have now the same grip as the one you had in high school? How have the Twins worked on it with you?
No, it's actually not. It's a little similar, but it's not. It's like just a few tweaks. I spoke to personally with Matt Canarino. And we spoke to it since he has like an amazing changeup, like one of the best I've seen, and just spoke to him and like kind of like got some knowledge off him, and literally like in like the next two starts I went down like 2-3 inches in VB. So I'm like right now I went to a split change, which is like a little bit like kind of like a split grip a little bit.
And you started at the beginning of this season?
I actually started that grip maybe like I want to say 2-3 weeks ago.
So he was down here rehabbing over at the complex, and that's where you got to work with him?
Yes, sir. When I went over there to the complex site to throw a bullpen for a start that week, I was speaking to him, and in my bullpen I was throwing.
John Vitas bringing you back live to Hammond Stadium in Fort Myers. Now, a little bit over an hour into our rain delay, and it does continue to lightly rain here in Fort Myers, but we did have heavier rain pass through for quite a while, a good 30 minutes of pretty heavy rain. And so the field is pretty saturated right now. There are sitting puddles in left center and right field. There's a good amount of water built up on the warning tracks. I would say probably half the amount of rain we had last night, maybe even less than half. But still the amount of rain that normally would probably knock us out for the night. But because it's still only a little after 6:30 and we were supposed to play two games today, they're still waiting it out. They're still going to see how quickly the field dries and whether this rain stops soon. Again, it's just a very light rain falling at the moment, but we have taken a good amount of precipitation over the past hour or so. And so we're still in a holding pattern, still waiting to see if we're going to continue this game. In fact, actually, a few of the officials just starting to come out of the tunnels now and take a look and see how things appear. I mean, this field dries quickly, but it's going to take at least an hour for this to dry enough for players to even think about coming out. So if we do resume, it's going to be a late night here at Hammond Stadium. If we don't, it might be an early night, but we would have to play a doubleheader tomorrow. Game one is an official game with the Muscles leading 6-2 in the sixth inning. So since we've completed five, it's official. And if we do decide not to continue tonight, we would just play a clean two tomorrow. We'll be back in another 30 minutes or so for an update, unless we have news before that. But with light rain falling and no decision yet, it probably will not get a decision in the next 20 minutes or so, but we'll be back with an update either way in a little bit. Thanks for tuning in to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
I was using his grip and his use that he told me about, and literally the next two starts, it was like 2-3 inches better on the VB.
So it's just one of those things where he gives you an idea, you try it, and you're like, oh, I like this better.
Yeah, definitely. It's just picking each other's brains and just helping each other out, and like most of the time, it's like this is the outcome, just getting better.
We're joined with Mighty Muscles starting pitcher Marco Raya. You've been with this team all year now, settling into the rotation. You're starting to see guys go up to Cedar Rapids. What's it been like just being a part of a professional clubhouse for 3+ months? Because for you and for a lot of the guys here, it's your first full pro season.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. It's great. It's like being like in a clubhouse full of guys that play like at your same level and like have the same positivity as you, and just really like all good vibes and like just working together as a team, and like that's great. Like it helps us, it helps you get better, and like it's just great overall.
Yeah, we're closing in on playoff time, a little bit over a month away from that. Is that something you think guys are thinking about at all, being like, hey, you know, we've got our spot clinched, we're kind of just going through the grind of the season, but at least at the end we know we can play in some fun, meaningful games?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why we worked very hard the first half to be able to clinch that. And right now we're really just taking it one day at a time, one game at a time, and focusing on the little things, trying to get better. That'll help us when we get to playoffs, help us win and take it all.
Well, Marco, thanks for the time. We appreciate it, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
First pitch is coming up next. Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you set for first pitch. Today, we get the chance to meet Luis Baez, Mighty Muscles outfielder. Luis, thank you for the time.
Thank you. Hi.
Ray Sierra here helping us out with some Spanish as well. And Luis, first of all, just tell me how your season has gone. Where do you think your game has already improved, and where do you want to get better?
¿Cómo tú piensas que la temporada tuya ha ido hasta ahora? ¿Qué parte de tu juego, en tu opinión, han mejorado, y qué parte de tu juego tú piensas que todavía pueden mejorar más?
Bueno, primeramente doy gracias a Dios por todo. A esta altura de juego de la temporada, yo pienso que he tenido mucha alta y baja. En mejorar es poner la bola más en juego, porque prácticamente mi trabajo es mantenerme en base, y cuando yo estoy en base puedo anotar una carrera, siempre le puedo montar presión al otro equipo, porque ellos saben que soy un corredor rápido y que si yo me pongo en posición anotadora, ya eso es lío para ellos. Así.
He says that he feels that up to this point in the season, he's had some ups and downs. But something that he definitely wants to get better at is just putting more balls in play. He knows that him putting the ball in play with as fast as he is, he puts some pressure on the defense, and just like giving himself a better chance to get on base more. He understands that that's his job, is to give himself a chance to use his speed, and he can do that only by getting on base. He knows that he's gonna add pressure to the pitcher and to the defense when he's on the bases already, and if he gets to second base, he puts himself in scoring position, that already adds a whole nother level of pressure to them, because it's known that he can score for pretty much anything.
You hit almost 300 last year in the Complex League. Have you noticed any differences in the pitching from down there to the level here in the Florida State League?
Sé que el año pasado tú bateaste casi 300 de aquel lado, que si tú has notado alguna diferencia entre el picheo de aquel lado y el picheo aquí.
Sí, la diferencia entre aquel lado y aquí es que tiran mucho rompiente. Se enfocan más en tu debilidad. Ellos siempre están ahí, dicen, miran videos tuyos, dicen, ah, esta es la debilidad de él, vamos a trabajarlo por aquí, por allá. Esa es la diferencia de allá, ya te tiran reta, y así.
Say, he feels like the biggest difference is that he feels like weaknesses get attacked more here. He feels like pitchers definitely do more homework over here. He feels like on the other side, it was more like guys just flat out throwing them fastballs and stuff. It's like over here, there's a challenge of having to make the adjustments, because he feels like the pitchers are definitely doing homework on them and attacking their weaknesses.
Another difference from the Complex to the Mighty Muscles, you get to play under the lights at night in front of fans. What's that been like for you? Did you get a nice juice or a little extra adrenaline the first time you heard that crowd get behind you?
Es que obviamente otra diferencia de jugar en el complejo de aquí es que aquí juegan de noche y tienen fanáticos. ¿Qué tal ha sido esa experiencia para ti? Y que si eso te sumó un poco más de adrenalina la primera vez que te escuchaste a los fanáticos apoyándolo a ustedes.
Claro, eso no me sumó un poco, me sumó muchísima adrenalina, porque ellos vienen a ver un show y eso es lo que nosotros tenemos que darle, un show, jugarle duro, hacer la cosa correcta. No siempre la vamos a hacer correcta, pero tenemos que esforzarnos a hacer la correcta y brindarle su show, que se diviertan.
He says definitely he not just a little bit of a boost of adrenaline, he feels like he gave him a whole lot. He feels like that he feels like these people, he understands that these people come to see a show and they just try to put up a show every night, night in, night out, and just try to do things right and so that the fans can enjoy themselves watching them. He understands that players are not going to do things right every night, but just like the effort to play hard and try to do things right so that they can enjoy themselves and continue to cheer on for them.
You started your professional baseball journey back in 2018, and you came to the United States just a year later in 2019. We talked about it with Ray, just the challenges that coming to a new country presents, not just in baseball, but in your daily life. What were some of the harder things or the things you had to adjust to when you came to the United States?
Sé que tú empezaste tu carrera cuando en el 2018 y después el próximo año ya viniste para acá en el 2019. Son cosas que se han hablado en el pasado, que se han mencionado de la diferencia, la cultura aquí cuando tú llegas a los Estados Unidos. Hay muchas cosas que son diferentes al país de nosotros allá. Que ¿cuáles fueron algunas de las cosas que se te hicieron más difícil acostumbrarte cuando tú llegaste a Estados Unidos?
Bueno, primeramente fue la primera vez en mi vida que me monté en un avión. Uh-huh. Que ahí fue el aire. Yo cuando vi que esa vaina yo estaba ahí arriba, yo no me lo creí. Cuando yo estaba ahí arriba. Lo segundo fue la comida, que es muy diferente a la de allá. Cultura diferente, se siente mucho la diferencia, pero paso a paso uno se va adaptando.
So first of all, the first thing that struck him was getting on the plane. He had never been on a plane before when he made his trip here to the States to play baseball. So it was the first time there, and it was like an amazing experience for him to be up in the air that high and actually like just be able to enjoy that. It's like obviously when he got here to the States, is the food was the number one thing. It's like the food is very different, the culture is different. It's like obviously it hits you, you can feel the difference, but it's something that you just learn to get used to as you go.
And now Ray said that the sweets here taste a lot better than, or maybe are different than the sweets in the Dominican Republic. What food have you noticed the biggest difference with, maybe being a lot better in the Dominican or a lot better here in the U.S.?
At least like ¿qué cosa tú te has encontrado que es más buena aquí que en Estados Unidos? ¿O algún postre o algo? ¿Qué hay mejor aquí que en Dominicana? ¿Qué sabe mejor?
Aquí, el salmón.
¿Salmón?
Hay que más. Está difícil. Solamente el salmón, porque en verdad no he tenido la oportunidad de comer muchas cosas distintas aquí, ir a un restaurante a probar cosas diferentes, solamente salmón y lo otro yo lo he comido en Dominicana, pero mi Dominicana.
He says salmon is something that comes to mind. He says he hasn't had the opportunity to go out much and eat at restaurants and stuff, but so it's a tough question. He loves the food from back home, and that's the kind of food that he likes, but definitely the salmon he feels like is better here.
Well, Luis, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you, John.
First pitch is coming up next. Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you set for the game between the Mighty Muscles and the Lakeland Flying Tigers. We're sitting down with Fort Myers left-handed pitcher John Wilson today. John, thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Off to a great start out of the Muscles bullpen, 5 scoreless innings for you. Seemed like you've been facing a lot of right-handed hitters, and it seems like the changeup's been a weapon for you. How have you been able to get out to such a good start?
Yeah, you know, just kind of, this is my second year throwing out of the bullpen, so I was able to learn a lot last year, and a lot of it has to do with just my mindset and, you know, just knowing that I have to be ready whenever my name is called, and, you know, whenever they do call me, my job is to go out there and get outs, and so that's just what I've been trying to do.
Yeah, and it's a crowded bullpen. There's 10 of you down there, so no more than twice a week, sometimes only once a week. Does it give you an opportunity to work on things before games and maybe fine-tune some things where if you were pitching more often, maybe you wouldn't worry about that as much?
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, just kind of trying to see how the game's going. We get our work in, you know, well before the game starts. So it's just trying to manage the workload and the effort level for every day, depending on whether you may or may not throw that day, depending on how many guys you have up in the bullpen. So it's just kind of, you know, getting an understanding of that and seeing how the game's going and knowing, you know, how much, you know, when to push it and when to back off a little bit.
When you're doing those pregame bullpens, is it just based off feel? You know, if your arm feels extra fresh, you keep going. If it's a little tired, you just stop.
Usually, like after the weekend, taking, you know, the day off on Monday, We'll come back Tuesday, Wednesday. If you don't throw in the game on Tuesday, throw a touch and feel on Wednesday. And it's really just, you know, sometimes 4 or 5 pitches. Sometimes it's more like 10 to 12. Just nice and easy. Usually just to get a feel for some pitches off the slope. That's the biggest thing.
After spending a few weeks with the Muscles last year, you spent the rest of the season with the GCL Twins, 3.8 ERA over 23 innings, but you also got the chance to work with Jared Gaynor, who's now your pitching coach here with the Muscles. What does Jared do well as a pitching coach?
Jared's awesome, and I played against Jared in college. He was coaching at VCU, and I played at Old Dominion. We played against each other, so there was a little familiarity there already. And Jared and Bobby Hearn last year did a really good job. I spent a lot of time working with both of them. And, you know, they're both really young, so we're able to relate to them really well. They're both really smart. They know their stuff. And it's been a lot of fun working with both of them so far.
Do you know who threw harder, you or Jared?
I think Jared, honestly. But I think we're around the same. I think I'm kind of getting there to, you know, throwing a little bit harder than him. So
yeah. Last year you were more mid-80s. This year you seem to be more upper 80s. I know you told us last year that you weren't, you know, fully 100% back from all the injuries you've had to deal with. Do you feel like you're as healthy now as you've been in a long time?
This is the best that I've felt in a long time. And, you know, last year we were doing a lot of delivery stuff during the season, which can be tough, doing all that stuff and then trying to go out and compete. I kind of got in my own head a little bit last year when I would go out there, and I would still be trying to do those delivery changes in the game rather than focus on executing pitches and getting guys out. So I think that limited me a little bit there last year. And this year I kind of changed my mindset where we do all that work on the side before the game. And then once I get out there, you know, I don't worry about that. I just kind of let it go on autopilot, trust all the work that I've put in, and just try and get out to compete.
We're joined with Mighty Muscles left-handed pitcher John Wilson. The further and further away we get from the pandemic, the more we kind of look back now and realize how weird that time was. You had a very unusual situation in 2020 where you were pitching in a college summer ball league because there was no affiliated pro baseball, and you got a contract offer from the Twins before the season started. So you went through that season pitching knowing you had the offer from the Twins, but also because there was nowhere else to pitch, you were pitching with college kids. When you look back at that summer, obviously it was very beneficial for you. You were extremely successful that season. What do you think about that summer, and how did that help you get to where you are now with the Twins?
That summer was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I had an opportunity to play with a bunch of kids from all over the country. We had a couple of Division I, Division II, Division III guys, some JUCO guys in there. We had a really good mix, and it was a really fun group to be a part of. And for me, specifically, that was the first time I pitched in a full season, really, in about 3 years since 2017. So for me, the biggest thing going up there before I signed was just I needed innings, just needed time off the mound, time to, you know, see some batters in the box. And so that was really beneficial for me right before I signed.
When we talked last year, we got into depth about your father's career as the Twins Northeast Area Scout. He's been with the organization for 30-plus years, but obviously a unique upbringing growing up the son of a scout. But for the people who haven't heard your story yet, who did you get a chance to meet as a kid? Which major leaguers were you around? I know you went to the Metrodome when your dad was working for the Twins.
Yeah, so whenever the Twins would play, I'm from New Jersey, so whenever they would play the Yankees in New York, we would go to pretty much every game. And we would get to go down to the field and go in the clubhouse, talk to Ron Gardenhier, who was the manager at the time, and then guys on the team, just Justin Morneau, Joe Mauer, Torrey Hunter, Michael Kadire. My dad signed Kadire, so I was able to, you know, build a pretty cool relationship with him over the years. And he was actually from Chesapeake, Virginia, which is right by where I went to school. So my sophomore year of college, he came and spoke to us, so I got to see him then again too. So that was pretty cool. And then Torrey Hunter, you know, growing up, he gave me his bat one time. I still have in my house. He autographed it for me. I'll never forget. He pulled it out right out of the bat rack right before the game. And just those experiences that my dad was able to give me, those are stuff that, you know, is really invaluable and something that, you know, I'll have with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Was there any room to root for the Mets or the Yankees, or were you just you were the only diehard Twins fan in New Jersey, huh?
Yeah. All my friends were Mets or Yankees fans. That was always the battle, was either Mets and Yankees or Jets and Giants. And I was Twins and Giants. So that was a fun one to explain to people. Some of the looks that I got when I said I was a Minnesota Twins fan, you know, people got pretty confused. But, yeah.
What's it like now playing on the Mighty Muscles with guys your dad signed? I mean, David Festo is a signee of your dad. So was Kyler Fedko last year, Pat Winkle.
Yep.
And there's plenty of others. Is there, I mean, I know it's a situation where he doesn't necessarily need to maintain that relationship now that they're in the organization, but have you talked with him or with the, your teammates about that at all?
Yeah, I've talked to some of the guys about it, that some of the guys that know, you know, I don't go up to them and say, oh, hey, like my dad signed you. Sometimes they can put the connection together because we both have the same name. We're both John Wilson. So he's the third, I'm the fourth. But yeah, I mean, it's been cool just talking to some of those guys that, that know my dad and built a relationship with him while they were in college, and just enjoyed every time that they got to meet with him and talk with him. So, and yeah, he'll still reach out to a bunch of them. I think Fedko hit his first home run and my dad reached out and just sent him a congratulations text. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is a pretty unique situation. Last but not least, obviously moving forward, you've got goals. You want to continue to pitch well here for the Muscles. What are some keys in terms of this season getting better?
Really just kind of staying, like, you know, knowing my strengths and pitching to that every day. And, you know, whenever my name's called, just going out there and doing my best to get outs and compete. And, you know, the velocity's ticked up a little bit. And it's still early, which is the best part about it. It's always good feeling this good early in the year. Usually there'll be some kinks here and there that you got to work out kind of as the season goes on. So the fact that I feel good right now is just kind of something to keep building on every day. And, you know, not worry about numbers or stats or anything like that. I think that if you just worry about the day-to-day, that kind of stuff takes care of itself at the end of the season in the long run. So just kind of got to take it day by day and, you know, have fun. I mean, this is what I grew up dreaming about doing. So and I just, you know, I love coming to the ballpark every day.
John Wilson, thank you so much for the time. We look forward to watching you pitch the rest of the year.
Yeah, thank you, John.
First pitch is coming up next. Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you ready for first pitch between the Muscles and Dunedin Blue Jays. Today we get a chance to meet Nicholas Rimmel, Mighty Muscles relief pitcher. Nick, thanks for the time.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for the invitation.
You've got such an interesting story to talk about. You're from the nation of Germany. Not a lot of Europeans in professional baseball, but you're on the list. First of all, let's talk a little bit about this season. You're having a really good year so far in the Mighty Muscles bullpen. Last few outings in particular have been really solid. What have been some points of focus for you, and why do you think you're having success here at the low A level?
So for me, it's really just about, like, as a reliever, like filling up the strike zone, especially coming in later the game. Sometimes close situations. For me, it's really all it is just to, like, get my defense back into the dugout as quick as I can. And put a zero up there, obviously. And that's pretty much the mentality throughout our whole organization as a pitching staff, just to, like, fill up the zone, get ahead early, and, like, finish him right away. And I think that's why we as a team or as a pitching staff are very successful in general, just like putting up a lot of zeros. Yeah.
What pitches do you throw, and how do you like to get hitters out?
So I got a fastball, slider, changeup. Especially changeup has always, like, been my kind of like my favorite off-speed pitch. Lately, I've been using a slider a lot too, especially against righties. Depending on also like on the on how the hitter is, like his aggression level, like if he swings early, like mix it up early, for example, sometimes, but like especially later on in the count, like using my off-speed pitches more just to get him out.
You've been here with the Twins complex since 2018. I think you, Reggie Grace, and Laron Smith probably hold the record here in this clubhouse for most time spent here in Fort Myers. As someone who's been, you know, developed here on this property and now getting a chance to play night games and hopefully get out of here soon, what's the whole lifestyle like for folks who aren't familiar with it?
Just like over the last couple of years or this year in general?
The last few years. Like what's the day-to-day like, and how are they able to develop, you know, young pitchers like yourself?
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely different this year since I'm with the Muscles now, like in full season. Team environment it's definitely different, and your whole your daily schedule definitely looks different, but it's not it's really just about like having the same kind of routines you pretty much like stick with. You're just doing stuff over there at the complex like earlier on. Like over here, we're pretty much doing the same stuff. Everything is just like schedule wise a little later. But yeah, it's been it's just like you said, it's been a couple of years. It's definitely been a grind just getting here. Very, very grateful for the situation and yeah, doing the best I can.
It's dorm style living, right? So you share a room with somebody else. I know you've got meals fed to you all day, every day.
Yeah.
Chefs over there, and then you've got game rooms. I heard there's a lot of ping pong going on. Mm-hmm. What's it like away from baseball?
It's definitely like living at the complex sometimes can definitely be tough just because you have all the fields around. Like you can't. Sometimes it's tough, like really, like get your head off or your mind off baseball. But yeah, the complex over there helps. Or, like the dorms over there help a lot with like the opportunities you have. Yeah, we just try to like do whatever we can, just like get our head off a little bit. Like sometimes going out for grab some food or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely easier if you're like living outside somewhere and then just just coming here to play baseball. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, where do you think they excel in terms of developing? I know we talked with Laron about, you know, building strength, eating all the meals over there. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you've kind of grown up over there? How much, I mean, I guess how much weight or how much velocity have you added since you joined the complex?
I would definitely say so. Like, I can still, like, whenever I look up my, look up my name, like on the minor league side, I think I was back then I was like 6'3", 200 pounds, and I think by now I'm like 6'4", 6'5"-ish, and like 230. So I definitely gained some weight and definitely got stronger over there. And that's pretty much the whole philosophy too, just like really like build your body, build your strength. Obviously, put up some got better with my velocity too. I think when I came here the first time, I was pretty much like mid to high 80s, I would say. So sometimes topping out at 90, but like now I'm like pretty much consistently low 90s, and still a lot of room to like go up, like a lot of more potential in me, I guess. Yeah.
We're joined with Nicholas Rimmel, Mighty Muscles reliever. I did want to touch on your time in Germany a little bit. I guess before we get into that, tell me how you learned such great English, because you're completely fluent. Your accent's almost not even noticeable. How have you come along with your English, and how much did you know before you came to the States?
So I would say like my my English was pretty much like it wasn't that good as it is right now. I have way more I can speak like I'm speaking way more over here obviously, but it's mandatory over there in school, so you learn it from 5th, 6th grade on, which helps a lot just to like to communicate like with all the people here, and since I'm pretty much the only one. Except Max Kepler in Org, like I really don't have anyone to speak German with. So it's necessary, and I'm very, very thankful to like that I learned it so early on, and helps a lot.
And I'm sure when the Twins and the professional teams from America were scouting you, you probably had no idea what you were about to get into. But obviously knowing some English certainly helped. Tell me about that process of finding a home with a professional team. Obviously, you were an excellent high school, teenage pitcher over in Germany, and it's not a place where you get a lot of professional players to come from. So what was the process like getting in front of major league scouts and then getting to eventually pick the Twins?
So the process over there is definitely different compared to over here. You really just have a couple tournaments, like international tournaments, like European Championships, for example. I've been to a World Cup in like an under 15 World Cup in Mexico, and to a bunch of other international tournaments where you have several scouts out there. What your coaches always tell you is like, hey, there might be a few scouts coming. Like, it's something you're not used to, but like, just try like focus on your game, just keep playing it. And it's definitely not like over here where I see like, the perfect game tournaments where they start, like where they have scouts when they're like 12, 13, 14 already. Like that's definitely not the way over there. Yeah, it's definitely develops a little later, but it's as soon as you're participating in those international tournaments, obviously adrenaline goes up and everything, and for me it worked out really well. I performed pretty good, and glad to be here.
Now, baseball is really not even you. The way you said it was, I don't even know if it's in the top 10 for most popular sports in Germany. So it's a totally nuanced game over there. But you said your father played a little bit of baseball. So I assume that's how you knew about the game. How did you spark an interest in baseball when you were young?
So pretty much as any other kid in Germany, I started playing soccer when I was younger. I think I did that from 5 to 8, I think. And then at some point, I think we found some equipment and like photos of my dad playing earlier. And yeah, that's kind of how I got into it. Like we just kind of like tried it out. And back then he was actually my soccer coach too. So we drove to soccer practice earlier on than the practice actually was. So could play catch a little bit and just to, like, try it out. And I think at some point we went there so early that we practiced more baseball than soccer. So, yeah, I think at that point it was clear that, yeah, I wanted to play baseball. Yeah.
There's kind of a special bond you guys shared doing it, you know, just the two of you before practice. Can you even buy a glove or buy baseballs at sporting goods stores in Germany? I mean, where did you get the equipment? And eventually I know you ended up at an academy, right?
Yeah. So it's definitely tough to get equipment over there. Normally we order it online, or we have a few stores where we can get some stuff, but it's not like over here, like Dick's Sporting Goods, for example, where you have a bunch of variety of like different sports. It's definitely tougher over there, especially now, like all my buddies that play in the senior league over there, they normally have they all have the same contact they're just ordering stuff from, who and it's typically over a military basis, actually. Yeah, so it's definitely tougher over there than here.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to ask about that, because whenever we see Germany or the European teams playing in the Little League World Series, it's usually some sort of Air Force base from the United States. How did your dad get into it? Do you know?
I think actually because of, I think it was in the late 80s or something. And that was a time when...
John Vitas welcoming you back to Hammond Stadium in Fort Myers, and we do finally have official word on tonight's situation, and tonight's game has been called. We are done for the night with baseball. The rain still very lightly falling here. Things are clearing up, but there is a chance of more rain, and with the amount of rain this field took in the hour between about 5:30 and 6:30, it's going to be a while before it would have been dry enough to play baseball. The managers and the umpires went over behind the center field area to discuss the field conditions and decided that it was too wet to play, that it would take too long to dry, and so they're just going to regroup. Game one is official, so the Muscles get a win tonight. They are win 6-2 and get to 63-52 overall, 22-29 in the second half. Tigers drop under 500 at 58-59, 26-25 in the second half, and so they are further behind now in the Western Division. We'll play two tomorrow, 11 a.m. first pitch. It'll be just a clean doubleheader since game one today is official, and so we will play two at 11 a.m., 10:45, the pregame show. It'll be a long day of baseball, but we'll start early, which means we'll be getting finished up right at the normal time, about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. For everybody here with the Mighty Muscles, I'm John Vitas saying so long, as Fort Myers does get a win despite just 3 innings of baseball here on Saturday night.
Thanks for listening to Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball, worldwide on the Mighty Muscles Broadcast Network. This copyrighted broadcast is presented through the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated, for the private use of our audience. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, its descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is prohibited.